Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio, where today is Tuesday, and as many of you are aware, Tuesday is when we do the episode, basically from the pulpit to the couch, where you'll receive biblical teachings from the Word of God, in addition to speaking with me, Jeanette Abney, a licensed marriage and family therapist. Now, I want to first thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning, for blessing me. And today is, I'm laughing already, but it's an interesting topic again, because today we're going to be talking about the healing power of God. And I hope that my friend called in, because we've been having some conversations about this topic. Now, we talk about the healing power of God. When you are sick, troubled, or in pain, who do you turn to? We know that we all will experience something in which will require a healing. I have a co-therapist friend, Dr. Romaine. She used to always say, I'm experiencing a healing, or I need a healing. So we're going to be talking about that, because there are times when we go to doctors, therapists, we use modern medicine. But as a child, I was told that God is a healing God. With that being said, what are your thoughts? I would like to talk about it, because I want to get your perspective on this. Now, I want to first start off, when we started talking about the healing powers, and not just the healing powers, what types of things do we need healing from or in regards to? There's the physical healing of the body, the emotional healing of the heart, the mental healing of the mind, the soul healing of the soul, and also the holistic healing of the body, heart, and soul. So as I was getting ready for this topic, and I was looking into a lot of different information and trying to find it scriptural in regards to looking at scriptures, how do we, and who told us that God is a healing God? And, you know, I've heard of the scripture, by his stripes you're healed. But what does it take, and what is that all about? As I was talking to someone this morning, we were talking about faith, we were talking about action, we were talking about reading the Word of God. Now, I'm waiting on my callers to call in, and the individuals will help me with this show, because as I mentioned earlier, I don't like talking to myself. But I also want to let the listeners know out there, if you would like to call in and perhaps share some of your experiences that you have endured or went through, when we start talking about, you know, God basically, or the healing powers of God, we talk about how God being so powerful, give us a call, 516-387-1914. Again, 516-387-1914. So, I want to start off by first, when we start talking about these powers, what are these powers about? Are we talking about supernatural powers? Are we talking about God being a miracle worker? I have some information that I want to go over, and it's from Benefits, and it talks about five ways of releasing God's healing power. Because if we know that God has the power, and God can heal, and we're not talking about who he heals, when he heals, because sometimes that becomes in God's timing. But have you ever wondered how many times God has miraculously healed a person? And I was sharing with my friend how even with my own health, when with me being diagnosed with lupus, but yet when I go see my rheumatologist, my blood work say one thing, my body say something else, they don't know what the heck is going on with me, and I just let it roll. I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, we start talking about people being sick. You know, we go to the Bible a lot of times, because some believe, people are believers and some don't. But when we start talking about the healing and even what's in the Bible, when we start talking about miracles that Christ did, healing the blind, walking on water, calming the storm, feeding thousands of with a few loaves of fish, every miracle Jesus performed was for a purpose. Now, he performed thousands of miracles to show us that God is real, God loves us, and God wants to heal and restore us to an abundant life. Now, Jesus didn't only heal a few sick people. The Bible says many times that there were those that came to him, were healed, and huge multitudes of people brought their sick to Jesus, not only from Israel, but also to surrounding nations to be healed. As I'm thinking and I'm going over this that I'm looking at, I remember watching things on TV, on church, and they, you know, people walking up to the pastors and on walkers and wheelchair and people touching them. And, you know, they say sometimes people have a healing power. But I want to know from you listeners out there, what is your take on that? Do you believe some of that? You know, I used to be kind of suspect in regards to that because we know that they're not God. We know that they're people, but we also know that God could also use people. Now, when we start talking about these miracles, even with current and day-to-day things, I had a friend text me that I've been knowing for years since we were kids in middle school. And he basically, we want to make sure we keep him in prayer. And he said, it's because he called me and I had to push the button. I couldn't talk. He said, I just wanted to tell you that I got surgery in the morning on my throat. And he wanted to check in to let me know before he goes into the hospital in the morning. So we want to keep Mr. Austin in prayer because, like I told him, we're going to pray that God do heal you so that you do not have to keep going through all of this stuff that you're going through. Now, this comes up to question because a lot of times individuals say, well, I prayed for God to heal so-and-so, or I wanted God to do this, but God didn't do it, the person still died. But if the person still passed, do that mean that God cannot heal? Does that mean that he don't have the power to heal? Sometimes, again, when we start talking about these things and trying to prepare us, this is to teach us that, again, God wants to perform in your life and in your heart. I want to give you guys the information in regards to the five ways that we can release this healing power. And one is through prayer. Even though prayer is a powerful tool for communicating to our Father in heaven, it's an opportunity to become one with the Creator and the giver of all things because prayer can help us find the strength for today and hope for our future. We should actively pray and trust in the power to change our circumstances for the good. Now, that goes back to what I was saying. That's the faith part. We wanted to change it for our good, but sometimes that may not always happen. Your faith life directly correlates to the quality of your prayer life. Prayer has the power to change not only the people and things around you, prayer also has the power to change you from the inside out. When you're in need of strength, remember that God is the number one healer and can guide you in endless ways. If your heart and life are centered on God, His Word, His Holy Spirit, you can rest assured that He will direct your path. Now, let me log on this caller. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Pressure Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
Hi, yes. I was just calling to listen.
Calling to listen? Okay. Well, thank you for calling in to listen. Hope somebody's not changing their voice. So the other one is talking about my own. You are bad.
What came up? Boy? I have something to food in my mouth.
Oh, my
you
God.
You are a hot mess.
Y'all folks are driving me crazy today. I'm going to need some healing after all this.
What? Okay.
Healing with y'all.
Well,
I've already prayed to God for some healing. All right.
You did? Okay. So where's your faith?
Yeah.
What action are you taking? Now, let's talk a little bit about the faith. Now, I talked a little bit about the prayer. Now, with faith, many of us are facing impossible situations where we need a breakthrough in our lives because we do need that breakthrough. Most of us sit and wait for God to make it happen, and we wonder, why is it that we don't experience a breakthrough as often or as fast as we would like to? What we need to know is that the breakthrough is not something we sit around and wait for. Breakthrough is God waiting on us to respond in obedience to what He has already commanded and already promised. That breakthrough happens when we take the first step against the barriers of our life. Tony, can you help us or help the listeners with this breakthrough? Because I think that's where we were going back and forth in regards to the faith and the healing power of God.
Wait a minute now. You asked a question, and I have momentarily was distracted by a visitor. You want to ask that question again?
Talking about the breakthrough, I was seeing how what we need to know is that the breakthrough is something that we shouldn't sit around and wait for. Breakthrough is God waiting on us to respond in obedience to what he has already commanded, already promised. Breakthrough happens when we first take the step against the barriers in our life. Breakthrough happens when we say that we're going to trust that God is going to supernaturally do what's impossible. God does the breakthrough, but he's waiting for us to take the first step of faith. And I think that's where when we start, we want a good outcome, but doesn't mean the outcome is always going to be what we want it to be. Right before I did this show, or the show came on, I received a text message from an old childhood friend, and he was texting me to let me know that he is going to be having surgery tomorrow on his throat. Now, this young man is the same age as myself. We went to middle school together, been on him for years, very athletic. He's on dialysis. He missed dialysis this morning because he said something on his phone, but yet he got to go to dialysis 3 days a week. Now he got to have throat surgery. I don't know what the throat surgery is about. I got to call him back to find out and probably go see him tonight. But I told him, we're going to expect the healing, that God can heal you. Now, I know his faith is challenged because sometimes we get disappointed. My question to you, and I think that's what we were going through when we were going back and forth with this topic, is that faith in regards to talking about this healing power and how we can't just, God is waiting on us to respond by with obedience. Can you comment on that a little bit?
Well, the setting you already made, let's just say I had a cousin. I did have a cousin. He passed away. And being up, he didn't have dialysis, but he had diabetes. He had to have a foot surgery. So he went and got foot surgery. And after the surgery that night, he passed away not too long after that foot surgery. Mm-hmm. So a person goes and says, well, Tony, where did the healing come from? Where's the healing in that? The thing is that there's certain things we go through in this world, and that some of us make it through and some of us don't make it through. And those who do make mm-hmm. it through on the end, the healing comes in the form of God giving us the spirit and the strength to deal with what we're going through. Mm-hmm. And sometimes some people find out they got this, and they start freaking out. They start getting nervous. They get upset. And what the Spirit of God does is it gives us hope along with his word. And I think one of the mm-hmm. main scriptures I had pointed out before was about he promised that he's going to make all things new. He's going to wipe out tears from my eyes. Death will be no more. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more, diseases and things like that. And that's what that healing is. That healing, that hope brings in a healing. And it helps mm-hmm. us to become calm and go through a situation that we have to go through that we may not want to go through, like a surgery or whatever. And that hope gives us, that word of God gives us a hope that mm-hmm. we have something to look forward to. And imagine if a person mm-hmm. was this desperate and they didn't have a hope, nothing to look forward mm-hmm. to. That biblical hope heals me. My mother passed away, and that biblical hope keeps healing me that he is going to resurrect certain ones. He's going to bring back a peace. He's going to bring a peaceful earth to this world, Psalms 37:11. Mm-hmm. So the Bible gives us a healing hope, the things that we mm-hmm. have to go through. And that's what we can generate from that in that manner, mm-hmm. That we can get a hope from that scriptures. And from those scriptures, and the comforting and the hope heals us and gives us confidence. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I like that because when you said Psalm 37, that's one of my favorite psalms with scriptures because I stood on that, especially when I needed the mental, when I was going through it, I was going through my business. I'm like, good Lord, these folks are driving me crazy. And I stood on Psalms 37. And I know when my mom was battling her breast cancer, I found so many books and stuff about cancer and scriptures. And I found one I have right in front of me, and it was Comfort for the Troubled Christian, that she had little books and, you know, talking about how he cares and how she was, you know, reading these different things. And even though my mother still succumbed to cancer after battling it for 6 years, and like I was sharing with you, her cancer went into total remission because she believed in the healing powers of God. But even though when she was healed the first time, it came back, but it didn't mean that she wasn't going to pass. But I had to then ask God to heal my heart because I had to deal with that loss and that void of not having my mother in my life. And I was healed from that, and I'm able to make it through. Another thing, when we talk about that healing power of God, we have to surround, or you have to surround yourself to God. When you surround your life to God, you are following his lead without even knowing where he's sending you. You're waiting on God's timing without knowing it, and when it comes, you're expecting a miracle without knowing what God will provide. And I think that's because we want the outcome to be our way, and goes back, and you talked about it before, Tony, about God's will, God's purpose for our life. Sometimes we don't know that. And if you're also trusting God's purpose without understanding the circumstances, you'll know you're surrendered to God when you rely on God to work things out instead of trying to manipulate others, force your agenda, and control a situation. You know, Tony, even with me being a therapist and all of the stuff that I hear, the pain that individuals be in, a lot of times we so busy trying to control the situation, force our agenda, wanting our will to be done, manipulate folks, because individuals are going through so much, whether it's dealing with family problems, whether it's dealing with drug addictions, whether it's dealing with, you know, just physical ailment, cancer. It's getting so crazy. But when we start talking about by your stripes you're healed, we talk about deliverance, we talk about a lot of different things. But sometimes we have to make sure, too, that it's God's will and not ours, because when we got to know when we are truly letting go and letting God handle everything. Don't mean that we can't take actions or what the actions are going to be, but the thing is, we don't always have to be in charge. Instead of trying harder, we need to start learning how to trust more. What do you think about that, Tony?
Oh, without a doubt, trusting in God is definitely a prerequisite. Trust and faith almost run hand in hand. So I know living in this world, I put my trust in God and what he says. See, the thing is, have you read the book to see what he said in order to trust him? So there's things he said, and he go, okay, I've said this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And then you go, okay, I believe that. Believing and having faith is similar to trust. And so it keeps you with a peace of mind, especially in this world. You can be healed with a peace of mind dealing with all the stuff that's going on, all this lying going on, all these people. You hear people that are murdered and shot and killed someone, and you going to God, you dwell on his word, and it gives you a peace of mind. It heals you with a peace of mind, because if you don't watch out, you'll find your own self going off and losing your posture and all that stuff. If you didn't have a peace of mind in the words that come along with God, he said, remove wrath from you. I have to catch myself sometimes. I get in this car and these people cut me off. They don't care. They flip and give me a finger. I almost about to give a response, and then I quote God's word and said, now, Tony, you know what God says about wrath. And that's where the calm and the peace and the healing comes into me to shut me down from responding to a fool. So there's many things that good book does, and the spirit of God and the peace of God does for healing us, to get us through this ridiculous world until the king comes and overthrow all of this. So that healing, what we read about a healing, may not be a physical healing. It could be a peace of mind and a spiritual healing to help us deal with some people who are trying to work us up and get us out of our position.
And you know, Tony, I talked about that at the beginning of the show, the different types of things we need healing from, you know, and mental. A lot of times we think of physical. I mean, we start talking about the physical part and losing body parts and stuff like that, but when your mind is gone, your peace, your joy is gone.
Oh.
Or you are dealing and you're so depressed, you feel hopeless and helpless. So when you surrender, your heart shows it best also when we talk about in our relationships and how we, like I said, going back to trust. But you also, we talk about surrendering, you don't react to criticism. You know, it's funny because even when I was talking to you earlier and I was walking outside and I was ready to the person and I was asking them that question, you was like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But the thing is, even talking to people, powerful, power, just power. So we also have to, basically we start talking about that is, you're not, if we got to, we have to stop trying to be self-serving. We don't have to edge others out. We don't have to demand our rights. Because when you trust God to work and you trust, like, by his stripes to heal, you stand on those words, he will help you through relationships, through situations. But it gets to another thing I want to talk about, Tony, is we can say this all day long, but we got to get to know God. A lot of people are still struggling with that. I had an individual ask me yesterday, we were talking about coming up with topics, and I heard something be said that are we losing faith in God or our relationship with God? I was like, you know what, that's a whole good another topic we could talk about. But what about getting to know God, Tony? Do you think that plays a big part in the healing power of God? If we got to first get to know him?
It has to. It has to. That book is full of so many wonderful thoughts of God. And it gives you an idea how he thinks and how he does things. If you're not going to pick it up, some people think just going to church is going to fix it. I let my pastor hand it over to him. Yeah, I go to church and I get this good spiritual food. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with God by picking up the book and trying to go through it as much as you can. What you can understand, be thankful. If you can't understand, ask a few different point of views and pray on the matter. But that book right there gives you all the joy and the peace. It corrects me every day, even when I don't even want to deal with certain things. It's upon my lips when I get up. It's in my mind when I sleep, and it conducts me to keep me from having an attitude like the one he does not like, the attitude God do not want me to have. So all that's in there is peace. The fruitage of the Spirit is a healing, a spiritual healing for you to have peace in dealing with this world. Now, it's back to the scripture said, draw close to God and the devil will flee from you. Some people think they can take on the devil by themselves. No, you can't. It says draw close to God. How can we draw close to God? We draw close to what he's talking, his word. Dwell on his word, and it draws us close to him, and we are friend to him, and he gives us this peace. Now, we may have to go through some things, like we spoke about the physical. So, you may find somebody who might have gotten into an accident and lost a limb. We know we not can't go over there and pray over that person and a new leg will show up in a few minutes or a couple of weeks. We know that's not the kind of healing that God is talking about. He's talking a future time he'll bring that about. You know, in a peaceful world, he'll restore certain ones' limbs and all this stuff. We're talking about a person maybe who have lost such a thing physically, and how can they dwell, how can they deal with what the situation they have in front of them right now? What kind of peace can this person get after losing this limb? And so, the comfort and the peace that they can receive spiritually is by reading the word of God and letting them know that he is going to make all things new and that he in the future time can restore that. So, It's a lot of peace that we can get from that word by dwelling on it every day, and helps us get through this world.
You know, and Tony, like I said, we talk about a lot of times when we lose someone or we lose our, you know, body part or whatever the case may be, and it's taking me back to, because I'm about to approach the anniversary of the passing of my father. And I remember doing the remarks at my father's funeral, and after first burying my mother and then after burying my father, I remember the pastor came up to the pulpit, and he looked at me, and he said, Jeanette Abney. And I looked at him. He said, I owe you an apology. He said, you have a joy that is unrecognizable. And at first I didn't understand what he meant, but then I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, I already lost a mother. Now I lost a father. I'm like an orphan. I don't have no parents. I don't. And I had to get through that, but I still had a joy that he was still able to see and wonder, how in the heck is this woman doing this? But that goes to the next one, is sometimes we have to let God work through us. And sometimes we try to fight that. But when we start talking about letting God work through us, God sometimes may expect us to do impossible things within us and through us. He knows exactly what he wants from us. But Tony, I was telling you this morning, I was sleeping so peacefully this morning. And I wrote about that being running late. I'm on my way trying to get to Fullerton. I ran into two big major accidents, with one had a four-car pileup, the other one had a five-car pileup. And all I could think of was, Lord, thank God it wasn't me. And then to get here to have to deal with what I have to deal with, but by that same token, I have to learn even as a therapist to let God use me to be able to help these individuals go through some of the stuff that they come to talk about. And that's a lot. So what do you want to say in regards to let God work through you? What's your comment in regards to that, Tony?
You mentioned about the pastor said something, you know, about you being peaceful. My question would that be is, did you fall out all over the place crying all over the coffin and unsoldable and no one, people had to pick you up? I mean, did you go through any of that?
No. I didn't. What
okay.
He said was,
see, what happened, right? Right. Then he's been knowing it in the church, and he's had some people in there that's been unconsolable, and they lost the one. They just fell all over there from grief. You have come to us. There's something that's already in you about the Word of God that you know how this process go, and you know that the Heavenly Father decides if He lets her into heaven, if she's an anointed one, or whether he's going to bring her back on that paradise earth. So you already got a peace inside of you. You may not even know it. You may know it, that you already got the hope of God in you, and you don't have to fall out all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And so people don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are calm and collective at funerals. It doesn't mean they don't love the person that died, but they got a peace, a healing of peace and hope already inside of them, knowing that God is going to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
you know,
peace is raised in that person. It doesn't mean that you won't cry. I cried when my mother died, but I had this hope inside of me that keeps me alive and healed and strengthened today, that I know that she's would be part of the resurrection class, or Heavenly Father has allowed her in heaven to be part of the anointed class. So whichever a person believes is on that matter, some people believe all going to heaven, some believe, you know, some will live on earth. So whatever the belief that you have in that matter, that's still a healing peace that you know that God is going to handle that situation, and that prevents you from losing it. Now, on the other hand, I know some folks who never had the Word of God, lost a loved one, and lost it. They went out into the world, they lost their mind, and then they end up dying. So that's the difference of a hope of the Word of God gives you a peace and heals you with hope and in joy. Although you may have a moment of sadness, you're going to have a moment of great joy because you know that God is going to handle it from there.
That is true. Now, I want to give you guys some information, and it comes from ibelieve.com, and it talks about 20 Bible verses about the healing that only God can give. Because a lot of times what happens is people run to different things. They run to church. They go tell their pastor. Their pastor can't always handle it, all the stuff that these people are going through. Some people run to unhealthy relationships. They run to drugs, alcohol, you know, I say the casino. They run to a lot of different things. But we all need healing in some way or another. A healing only God can give. I had to throw that out there because sometimes I go get my healing.
Wait a minute. You said you guys. Is Tammy on the phone?
No, Tammy's not on the phone.
Oh, okay. I thought you heard you guys. I think you're talking to everyone who's listening. Oh, I'm sorry.
And I'm talking about people that's listening. Now, I sent Tammy a text. She's supposed to be calling in, and I have not heard from Delano. So I guess Delano mad at me still, so hopefully he will heal from that. So we go keep him in prayer.
Right.
But
okay, I'm sorry. Finish that thought. You were saying that was an interesting thought. Finish that up. I want to hear that.
That we all need a healing in some way or another. And now with these scriptures that I'm going to talk about is they encourage individuals, whatever emotional, spiritual, or physical healing that they need today. And it's like standing on that word. When you get back, go back into the word. Now, in times of spiritual, emotional, or physical pain, we can rely on healing scripture to comfort our souls and guide us towards recovery and sometimes a peace of mind. We have, and what they did was they compiled a collection of Bible verses about healing as a resource of solace for times of pain and sorrow. Although life doesn't always give us what we expect or what we even hope for, many individuals would like to be emotionally stable, but when we start talking about that hurt, that pain, some of the verses that they go through, and they talk about, Tony, and this is in Exodus 15:26, "For I am the Lord who heals you." Now, I think Tammy's calling in right now. I think you just talked Tammy right on up, so let me lock her in and make sure she can join us. Good hour to say afternoon. Is this Lady T?
Yes, it is.
Tony just talked to you right on up. He was like, "Where Tammy at?" How you doing today, Tammy? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
I am well. I'm well. So we're talking about an
how are you, Tony?
Tony, Tammy asked you a question. Tony just went silent on us for a minute, but he's still here.
Oh.
I guess I don't know if he put us on mute and took us back off, put us on mute for a minute. But I'm going over some of the Bible verses for emotional and spiritual healing, because a lot of times we start talking about this pain. And that pain and some of the things that people go through, sometimes we need the God. We need the Lord. I remember that old song, and I'm quite sure you probably remember that, Tammy, when it says, "I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour,
yeah.
I need thee." And when we would hear the mothers of the church singing that song, oh my God, it was like something would just come over them to just cover them. Now, I would start off by talking about Exodus 15:26, "For I am the Lord who heals you." Can you speak a little bit on that scripture in regards to Exodus 15:26? If we want to believe that God has healing powers, and in the word it says in Exodus, "For I am the Lord who heals you."
I can barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
I can hear you.
In Exodus 15:26, it indicates, "For I am the Lord who heals you." Now, when we start talking about the healing power, it didn't say I'm the one that's going to make you sick. It didn't say that I'm the one that's going to break your heart. It says, "For I am the Lord who heals you." Can you elaborate that on that a little bit?
"For I am the Lord who heals you."
I'll read it. In that verse 26, it says, if you listen carefully, it says to the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his eyes. If you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any diseases I brought to the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. And it goes into sometimes we wonder about some of these things because people can develop illnesses from a lot of different things. Some things are self-inflicted, and some things are placed upon us, especially some things can be environmental. But when we start talking about the healing power, but that scripture goes into, and it states, "For I am the Lord who heals you." Do you know a lot of individuals still doubt that?
Yes. Yeah, they do, but you have to be careful with that because, you know, everybody think, oh, you know, people live any old kind of way. Then I'll be like, oh, they'll pray when they get sick or when they're going through something. And if God do bring them out, then they go by right back to doing what they're supposed to. So what he's saying is, you know, if you don't do what you're not supposed, if you stay out of trouble pretty much, if you stop doing all the wrong stuff, you know, and you walk upright, you live holy, you know, you live a holy and separated life and you do the right thing, right, and, you know, before me, if you walk upright, righteous, and do the right thing, yes, I'm your God. I'm the God that heals you. I'm the God that's going to heal you. You know, I'm going to take care of you. I'm not going to put more on you than you can bear. So a lot of things that come our way, God do allow us to go through them. God is the one that puts us in some of the trials we go through. But that's why he said he won't put more on us than we can bear, because he's going to bring us out of it. We have to have faith and the trust to believe that he's going to bring us out. So if we already know that he's going to bring us out, we have nothing to worry about. And that's why he know we can bear it, because he wouldn't put it on us. I mean, he knows us all individually. He knows what we can do, what we can put up with. He goes, knows what we can take and what we can't take. And that's why some things he will reveal to you, some things he will not reveal to you, because he knows you wouldn't be able to handle it if he did, because he don't want anything coming before him. So sometimes we put our feelings and our emotions before him, but he don't want anything coming before him. So that's what it means.
You know,
go ahead.
I want to share this, because, like I said, I know with my mother passing away at age 59 of breast cancer, and I'm the age now that when they first diagnosed her with breast cancer. So when I did my mammogram this year and I was clear, I was like, okay, good. Now, I remember with me having symptoms of lupus ever since I was like 14, 15 years old, and we didn't even know what lupus was.
I'm gonna come from over there or what?
Okay. So I want to say that, even though I have been dealing with that, I remember one year they thought I had breast cancer after my mom. And I told them people, I said, I know good and well God ain't going to give me lupus and breast cancer. That's just a little bit too much. And when they went all the way through the mammogram and all this, and they did the biopsy, and they told me what we saw we don't see no more, I was like, you know what? That ain't nothing but God. But it was my attitude made a big difference, too. Now, I also want to speak on, he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. And that is in Psalms 147, 2. Because a lot of times we talk about the brokenheartedness, we forget who God is and how powerful God can be. Let's talk about that a little bit in regard to healing the brokenheartedness. Can you speak on that a little bit, Tammy?
Oh, yeah.
Heal the broken heart.
If you ask him, he will heal your broken heart, because that's what I mean by when we go through things. You know, some of us, we go through bad breakups. We go through divorce. I mean, we may lose a mom, a father. We may lose a child. We may lose a loved one. We may be dealing with things. So, yes, he'll heal your broken heart, because you can't effectively serve him if your heart is broken, because you're going to be sad, you're going to be depressed, you know, so you can't serve him effectively and do what he called you to do with a broken heart. So that's why he said he will heal your broken heart. Anything that's going on with you, if you trust him to do it, he will do it. But that's the whole point. You got to trust him, and you got to believe that it's already done. And if you can believe that and have the faith of hope, then, hey, he's going to do it.
What'd you say? I got the victory.
Yeah. Another one. Already done. Just like that song. Already done. Already done.
It's another one that I want to go over, and it says, my wayward children, say the Lord, come back to me, and I will heal your wayward heart. You know, a lot of times people think that they've done something so bad that God cannot heal them, and that's in Jeremiah 3:22. Now, my wayward children, even if individuals have fallen off or, you know, done things and they feel that it's all my fault because of these things happening, I remember my mother when we was growing up, she used to always, we did some of the shows, we talked about adultery, we talked about a lot of different things, and my mother used to always say how messing with a married man can cause you illness and death. And that was always one of my big scary things. I'm like, I don't want to mess with a married man. I don't want to. Do you, that mean you go die if you mess with somebody like that? But when we start talking about wayward children, what do they mean by that, Tammy? Because we all have sinned, we all have done certain things. But what do they mean by this wayward children?
Well, people that lose their way, people that, you know, fall off of their, they lose their faith, you know, and they start to say, well, you know, God ain't trying to help me, or, you know, they just decide to live a worldly life. They decide to, you know, just fall off, and instead of being, you know, they straddle in the fence. And they think they think they went too far over the fence that they can't come back. But that's not true. God will always welcome you back. He has open arms. People don't understand that. All you have to do is confess with your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Confess, like we talked about last week. Confess and believe and not go back. And he, you know what? There's some things that we were talking about that this morning on the prayer line. There's some things that we can do and we'll go through and we'll confess it to God. God will not reveal it to nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be just between you and God. And if you messed up with somebody and them, but God will make it to where it won't even come out. He'll cover it because you went to him, because he knows our heart. So he knows if we're genuine or not. He knows if we're going to turn around and do it again, or if at that moment we're just feeling, you know, like, man, I can't have this coming out. He knows. So, but if you're genuine, there's some things God will keep just between you and him. He'll keep it covered. But if you keep doing what you're doing, God will expose you too. The Bible even says he'll bring you to an open shame. And that has nothing to do with nobody. That's between you, and he will bring you to an open shame. All your lies and everything will catch up to you, and it will fall right before you, just roll out like that. I don't know if you ever seen History of the World, like that tongue rolled out of his mouth. Everything is rolled right out. You just gotta know, and that's a lot. That's what's wrong with a lot of people. They're like, no, God don't want me. God done with me. God been done with me. No, that's not true. That's not true. He ain't done with none of us. We are his creation, so why would he give up on us? When he sent his son to die for us, when he could have just killed all of us while we're in sin. But he sent his son to die and shed his blood to cover us. So, I mean, no, he loves us.
And, you know, and that's what a lot of people need to know, especially when they're in pain and they hurt, because God can heal your wayward heart. Tony, what is your comment in regards to my wayward children, says the Lord, come back to me and I will heal your wayward heart? I think Tony just put us on mute and just left us. Okay, another one. Oh, Lord, if you heal me, I will be truly healed. If you save me, I will be truly saved. My praises are for you alone. And that's in Jeremiah 17:14. A lot of times it goes back into the grief process. As I read this, we go through what's called the denial, the bargaining, the anger, the acceptance. When we want something from God, we be like, Lord, we're making that bargain. If you do this, I swear to God, I will do this. If you just save my loved one, if you just heal me. And then when he heal you, you're looking around smiling like, okay, let me go mess up this again. You know, I've heard it be said with individuals, let's say for an example, they mess their body up with drugs and alcohol and they need a kidney. But then you get a new kidney, and now you got a new kidney. You still drinking, and you still doing drugs. Why are you going to mess up another kidney? You know, so a lot of times we want God to heal us, but then by that same token, we will say, my praises are for you alone. But like you said, God knows your heart. But what would you like to add in regards to that subject or just that statement, Tammy, when we talk about, oh, Lord, heal me, I will be truly healed. If you save me, I'll be truly saved. My praises are for you alone. In Jeremiah 17:14, what's your comments in regards to that?
Well, because some people think when they get healed or they get saved, they think that man is doing it and not God.
Mm-hmm.
They think a man is saving them, or a man laid hands on them and hit and they're instantly healed, and they're giving man credit and not God credit for being healed, saved. So that's already the wrong thing, because we know God gives us certain things, and we know God gives us certain gifts. But all the glory goes back to him. the one with the power. He's the one with everything, and we're just lowly beings. You know, we're just human beings that, you know, say we love the Lord and operate, you know, because of him and do his will. So, but a lot of people take credit for that, and people believe that. It's just like some of those, remember when in Waco, Texas, when that man was saying he was Jesus, and them people believed it, and he poisoned all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought, they all thought they was going to heaven. It's because people get caught up in that, and they think that, oh, this person has saved me, this person has delivered me, he has brought me out of where I am, instead of giving, you know, God the glory, or giving, you know, Jesus the praise, our Lord and Savior, they give it all to man. So that's why I said, if God does it, then it's, you know, it's everlasting, meaning you're not going to go back. So if you think man healed you, you're going to be sick again. If you think man saved you, you're going to turn around and sin again, you know. But if God does it, then it's eternal. You can go back to him. You can repent to him. You can confess to him, you know, because man won't forgive you. Even though we're supposed to, you know, give forgiveness, man don't have to forgive you. They're supposed to, but they don't have to. But God, he's going to forgive you. He's going to forgive you every single time. He's going to be like, okay, okay. But when you get over to that part where we talked about, where you just playing around and you just thinking, oh, I'm going to keep doing this and keep doing this and keep asking, keep, God ain't stupid.
You know, I'm looking at so many different scriptures, and I'm thinking about the woman with the issue of blood, too. That was another one. That's a very important issue. I mean, not issue, but the scripture. And when she wanted to be just touched the hem of his garment, and by, you know, by his stripes she was also healed. But I'm looking at something, and it talks about they begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe, and all who touched him were healed. And that's in Matthew 14:36. It also indicates, so Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, they did not allow them to speak. And that's in Mark 1:34. Now, when we start talking about a lot of these things, and I'm just reading some of these scriptures, and a lot of, when we go back into faith, because we have to tap into our faith, and like I said, it doesn't mean that God has forgotten individuals. It doesn't mean that God wants people to be sick or, you know. So one of the things is, like I said, standing on his word, getting it into your Bible. I found something, and it talks about cancer prayer for the network. And because we got so many individuals that are just coming up with all kind of illnesses and diagnoses. And, you know, Tammy, I've been hearing about illnesses that I never even heard of before. So, and people are just really, really getting sick. And it's like, what in the world is going on? Now, in Exodus 23:25, it says, you shall serve the Lord your God, then he will bless your food and drink, and I will remove sickness from your midst. Now, standing on that word, Tammy, and I'm just thinking about just how we even say grace over our food. What do they mean by you shall serve the Lord your God, then he will bless your food, your drink, and I will remove sickness from your midst? How do you, what is that about?
Well, he will remove sickness from your lips. Is that what you said?
Your midst. Your midst. That's in Exodus 23:25.
Yeah. He removes from your midst. Well, okay. You got to understand, in scripture, everything tied in together. Everything goes back to God. Everything goes back to serving him. So everything that he says, it's all based on how you live. It's all based on how you serve. So you can't live any old kind of life. Yeah, you can't live any old kind of life and try to apply the scripture to your mess. This applies to the people that serve God. These are the benefits of God. And that's why it says his benefits don't work. His benefits don't run out.
Correct. But that doesn't mean, and Tony and I were talking about this earlier. I think he got us on mute. I don't know what he's doing. But it doesn't mean that people will not pass. People will transition. People will die. That is in God's will also.
Oh, yeah.
You can't pick and choose, because I want people to be thinking that just because I go to church, just because I pray, just because. Don't mean that
no,
I won't die.
No.
Because that
we don't know the day nor the hour.
Thank you. And you know, Tammy, that's where I see a lot of times individuals, they get upset with God, they get mad at God, and they challenge the healing power of God because we still see things happening. And some things, when we say God knows all, God's in control, yes, God is in control, but sometimes we get so confused about what that means. And even in Isaiah 36:16, it says, those live whom the Lord protects. Yours is the life of my spirit. You have given me health and restored my life. Now, just even the way this is even written is powerful, but you've got to understand, go to Bible study, read the Word of God, and even if you don't understand, ask questions. Fellowship, commune, talk to other people and get their input and take on that.
Right. There are people that are perfectly healthy, and they close their eyes and don't wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know the day nor the hour. And guess what? That person can be perfectly healthy, but guess what? They could be living a toxic life. Their life can be jacked up. They can be evil, mean, cruel, but in perfect health. And they can just close their eyes and not wake up because God was like, okay, that's enough.
Oh, you know, we've seen that all too common. We just saw that, a couple of Sundays ago. We
so,
did church. I'm like,
we don't know.
Ooh.
Right. And what people got to understand. Right. And what people got to understand is people think, a lot of people are intelligent. People ain't dumb. So let me just say that right now. People are not dumb. And one thing is what people will do, they'll be like, oh, Lord, I did this. God going to punish me. But guess what? When you do something, that's why you need to make a conscious choice about what you decide to do. Because what you do not only affects you, it affects others. Because God may not do nothing to you, but he may do something to your child or to your spouse or to your mom or to your dad or to your surroundings. He may take everything from you. So you don't know how he's going to come because you're not him. His thoughts are not our thoughts. You don't know what he's going to do. So that's why you need to just, if you say you saved and you love the Lord and you serve him, you say yes to his will and his way, then just do that. Just live out that life. Don't try to figure nothing out. Don't try to say, oh, if I do this, he might not punish me too much. You don't know. Your punishment could be the death of your child. It could be the death of your mom or your dad. It could be your death. You never know. You don't know what it is. We can't say what punishment fits what crime because, you know what, in God's eyes, there's no sin greater than the other. So we don't know which punishments to fit the crime. So we can't say that.
Now, I have some information, Tammy, that I want to share with the listeners, and it's from BibleKnowledge.com, and it says, having faith and belief that God can actually heal you. Because a lot of times, individuals are still doubting that power. Even though the miracles and the scriptures and things that have been in the Bible that have happened, we have individuals that can give testimony in regards to how they have been healed, they've been delivered, they've been set free from things. Doesn't mean that they are perfect or they may not go through something else, but in regards to just even believing that God could actually heal. Now, sometimes God will move to heal someone who has very low levels of faith in him. So some people's relationships may be stronger than others, but there will be other times that he will want this person to have faith levels built up a bit before he will move in his healing power.
Get Autumn. You know, he was in the yard.
Can you hear me, Tammy? Now, as we talked about some of these scriptures and verses, there are many times that Jesus would ask the person that he is wanting to heal whether or not that person had enough faith and belief in him that he could actually heal them. Once that person said that they had enough faith in Jesus that he could actually heal them, then Jesus would move to heal him. But my question is this too, Tammy. Sometimes do we have to give God permission or give him permission, or can he just do it on his own? Can you hear me?
Okay. Oh, yeah, now I can. Say again. I'm sorry.
I'm reading something. I'm going over something, and it's from thebibleknowledge.com. And what it talks about, we start talking about in regards to different verses, and we're talking about the faith. and how sometimes we could be questioned in regards to, do we have the faith in God in order to be healed? And it says Jesus would go as far to tell the person that his faith is what got him healed. Now, is it the faith, or can God just heal anyway? Or could it be a combination of both?
Okay. I think it's both. Because if you have faith and know and believe God is going to heal you, he's going to heal you. But that's the problem with a lot of us, that we be like, oh, God going to heal me, God going to turn it around, but we really don't believe he is. So even when he do turn it around, or even when we do feel better, we still don't feel it because we doubt it.
You know, and it takes me back, and I've shared on some of the shows how when my mother's cancer went into total remission and they said it was a miracle, and when it came back, it kicked her butt. And I remember hearing something tell me that your mother refused to change. She just wouldn't change. So even though she had been healed, when it came back, her attitude got worse when she got healed. Now, when we start talking about these things, and it goes into Jesus would then go as far as to tell the person that his faith is what got him healed. However, it was quite obvious that what got this person healed was the power of the Holy Spirit operating and manifesting through Jesus. However, what got the healing power from the Holy Spirit to manifest into that person was the person's faith and the belief that Jesus, or what they actually can do for him. Now, sometimes we'll pray for the doctor. We try to anoint things. We do these things because that's basically having to do with the healing power and the power of prayer and the power of God. This is how powerful things it really is. And if you get your faith operating at a level with the Lord, if your faith is operating at these higher levels with the Lord, then God can manifest bigger and greater miracles either through you or through you to help someone else out. And tell me, I think that's a lot what individuals, what we miss. Because even though, and Tony is gone, he dropped his call, and we talk about getting into the Word, we talk about, developing a stronger walk in our relationship, the Bible tells us that faith comes from hearing the Word of God. And hearing the Word of God means that you're reading the Bible for yourself and believing what you are reading. If you are willing to do this, then the Holy Spirit will start to raise your faith to a higher level. And once your faith has been raised to that higher level, then God may move in to heal you or someone else that you may be praying for. And, you know, Tammy, that is very, very powerful because, like you were talking about, you was on a prayer line this morning. And, you know, we have different types of prayer. We have corporate prayer. You can get on your knees and you can pray for yourself and talk to God and ask God to help you. But we also have to really meditate and chew on these verses and let them speak and settle in our mind and spirit.
Right.
And we have to believe what we're reading. A lot of times individuals will say, oh, it's a story, oh, this is fictional, oh, it's a book. But can you give the listeners a little bit more in-depth information about what that is even really about? Why do we even do these things?
We're supposed to pray daily. We're supposed to read his word. These are the things we're supposed to do because how can we get to know him if we don't do these things?
Mm-hmm.
That's how we get closer to him. That's how we get to know him because it says he is the word. So if we don't read him, how are we going to get to know of him?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we pray. You're supposed to pray daily because why wouldn't you pray daily? We go through things every day. Look at what's going on in the world. It's so many things going on, so many horrible things, good things and horrible things. But you got to pray daily. You have to stay prayed up because you don't know what the day is going to bring. You don't know what you're going to run into. And then you pray daily for him to cover you and protect you because there's things unseen that we don't even know coming our way that he has kept us from because we prayed and asked him to cover and protect us. So even though he knows, he still wants to hear from us and he still wants to know that we love him and that, you know, we honor him, we worship him and we thank him for all that he's done for us. So, you know, yes, he want to hear from us. And yes, we study to show ourselves approved so any old body can't come and tell us anything about the Bible and we can be like, oh yeah, and just agree because we don't know nothing. No, you got to be able to be like, wait a minute. No, that's not what the words say. If it's not true. So that's why we do that. And
And to build a relationship. That's how you build a relationship.
We have to know our word. Now, we only have a few minutes left. I wasn't able to look and see on Facebook any comments or responses that individuals have. But if you have some topics that you want me to discuss, things you want to hear, you can email me at preciouspredicaments@gmail.com or Jeanette Abney, LMFT@gmail.com. And I am more than willing to share some of your thoughts, your comments, your suggestions, because this is to basically to get people to think, to educate, to empower, and to encourage, and to help individuals with this spiritual walk with God. Because Jesus Christ does want to heal you. But again, you got to also want to be healed, because some individuals, they get comfortable in what they're going through. So I want to thank you for joining us here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. And thank you, Lady T. So we got to come up with a topic. So we got to get this together and figure out what it is that either the Spirit is placing and dropping into our hearts or in our spirits, and also what some individuals want to know more of. So, again, thank you for joining us here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. And until next week, remember, you got this. Thank you, Lady T. Thank you, Mr. Tony, even though you hung up. Bye. Bye-bye.